All right, let's take our Bibles this evening and turn to the book of 2 Samuel, chapter 23. 2 Samuel, chapter 23. Brother Dave, thank you for coming. God bless you, sir. And if you want to move to Westminster, we got some people that can help you do that. Yeah, I'm not either. we got some people that can help you with that. And just let me know. And we'd love to have you. And you can base out of our church. This is, we didn't put it on a show for you tonight. This is what we are. Amen. Okay? And, right? Right, church? Amen. Yeah. See, there used to be a lot of other people sitting in these seats where there ain't nobody sitting now. But because I won't change, you know? But I'm not, we're not changing. We're just not doing it. And so you're welcome to come. You can sit in one of these seats and bring your dear wife. And anybody else over in Chambersburg that wants to come, just bring them all. Huh? Get a bus. We'll run a bus to Chambersburg. Yeah, we got a bus. If you want to run the bus, we got a bus. Don't worry about that. Yeah, we got one of those. I got to tell you a funny, all right? I'm going to tell it, John. I'm going to tell it, okay? I was down at the... I was down at Brother Bobby's funeral Friday, and I saw two of my friends that I hadn't seen for a while, hadn't talked to for a while, and they were standing there talking to one another, and both of them from North Carolina, both of them, and they were sitting there or standing there talking, and I walked up, and we all greeted one another, and hugged and shook hands and hugged and talked for a second. And the other one said, now what were you telling me? And he said, well, I was telling you about so-and-so. And he said, now he's got a doctor's degree. That's what he called it. He said, he's got a doctor's degree, but somebody gave it to him like that. And the other one said, yeah, he said, that's just about as good as a curl on a hog's tail. It doesn't make the ham taste any better at all. I lost it. Isn't that funny? An honorary degree is like a curl on a hog's tail. It doesn't make the ham taste any better at all. Oh, my soul, that is hilarious. Only in North Carolina. Or West Virginia, for that matter. All right, let's look at 2 Samuel 23 tonight. I will begin reading in verse 8. Bible says, these be the names of the mighty men whom David had. Mighty men. The Tachmonite that sat in the seat, chief among the captains, the same was Adino, the Esnite. He lift up his spear against 800 whom he slew at one time. All right, let me see your face. Are you impressed? That's pretty cool, isn't it? All right, look at verse 9. Verse 9 said, and after him was Eleazar. Now, Eleazar means, the name means, God is my helper. All right, Eleazar. And he is the son of Dodo, the Ahohite. That's a mouthful, isn't it? One of the three mighty men with David, when they defied the Philistines that were there gathered together to battle, and the men of Israel were gone away. He arose, watch this now, and smote the Philistines until his hand was weary, and his hand clave unto the sword. And the Lord wrought a great victory that day, and the people returned after him only to spoil. And after him was Shammah, the son of Agi, the Hararite. And the Philistines were gathered together into a troop where was a piece of ground full of lentils. Now, lentils, that's barley, all right, barley. And the people fled from the Philistines, but he stood in the midst of the ground and defended it and slew the Philistines, and the Lord wrought a great victory. Now, I'm going to stop reading right there, and I want to pray, and then I'm going to speak to you tonight on David's mighty men. Let's pray together. Our Father, we ask now your blessing to be upon us, and I want to thank you for these verses. They are an encouragement to our hearts, and I pray that you will bless the Word of God tonight, and may we be blessed, may we be encouraged, may we be helped. We are living in an evil day. And Father, we need some folks who will stand. We need some folks who will have courage to stand, to do what's right, regardless of what the rest of the world is doing, just to stand up and be counted for the Lord. And so, Father, I pray that you will help us tonight to see these truths, and may the lives and story of these men be a blessing to our hearts. Guide and direct us now, Father, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You say, well, Pastor, how in the world could one man slay 800 Philistines? How in the world could one man stand in the middle of a field with a sword in his hand and defeat 600 Philistines coming at him, one right after the other? How in the world could that happen? I tell you, it's not normal. All right? It's not normal. You say, well, how can that happen? Can I tell you there's a verse that explains why this happened? Did you know that? Go back, let me show you. Go back to Leviticus. Go back to the book of Leviticus, chapter 26. Leviticus, chapter 26. All right, now look at me when you found it. All right, look here. In this chapter, God is telling Moses, and Moses writes it down. This is the law. This is God talking to Moses, telling him, giving him the law of God. All right? Now, God told them all kinds of things about what would happen when they got over in the land. God knew that they were going to go into that land, conquer that land. God knew it all. And so he told Moses what to expect. Now, if you look at chapter 26 and verse 6, God says, once you get into the land, once the children of Israel, Moses, once you guys get there, he said, I will give peace in the land, and ye shall lie down, and none shall make you afraid. And I will rid evil beasts out of the land. Neither shall the sword go through your land. Now watch verse 7. And ye shall chase your enemies, and they shall fall before you by the sword. Isn't that awesome? God told them, look, look, guys, when you get over in that land, you're not a bunch of soldiers. You are a bunch of shepherds. You are not a bunch of people who are going to go into that land and just whoop up on everybody in your own strength and in your own might. You're going to have my help. And so when you get over in the land, so that everybody will know that you are my people and that I am your God, I am going to bless you. And here's what's going to happen. Look at verse 7. Ye shall chase your enemies, and they shall fall before you by the sword. And verse 8, five of you shall chase 100. And 100 of you shall put 10,000 to flight. And your enemies shall fall before you by the sword. Folks, God promised the children of Israel that when you get over in that land, I'm going to fight for you. And that's exactly what God did. You remember when they went to Jericho, it was God that that knocked those walls down. You remember when they were fighting in the valley of Elah, it was God that made that sun stand still. And God delivered time after time after time. Now, back to the text in 2 Samuel 23, in verse 8 through verse 12, beginning in verse 8 and continuing through to the end of the chapter. But I'm not going to preach on all of them because you got to go to work. No, you're off tomorrow, aren't you? Well, maybe I'll just preach on all of them. But beginning in verse 8 and going through the end of the chapter, but I'm only going to preach on three of them from verse 8 to verse 12. We have a list of David's mighty men. Many names are listed here. And I think you need to be careful when you read these verses that you don't read it so quickly that you miss some wonderful lessons that are connected and involved in these men's lives. Now, before I get to the list itself, let me take just a moment and speak to you about the why of such a list. Why a list of David's mighty men? Why would God include such a list of man's accomplishments in the Bible? Why would God take note of man's attitudes and actions? With all the theological and questionable things in our world, you'd think that God would use this space in the Bible to maybe explain some of the theological questions that we have. But there is a point, folks, that God wants us to get. And that's why he mentions these mighty men. You see, God is concerned about the everyday affairs of our lives. God cares about the everyday affairs of our lives. Our service for the King is of great interest to God. There may be some in the King's army who do nothing, but there is not a one of us who has nothing to do. And the Bible is riddled with hundreds of verses that seem like nothing more than mundane lists of names and places. But God has a point with each one. So when we do nothing, I'm telling you, folks, we're out of step with God. God saves us to serve, not to sit. God saves us to serve. So let me remind you that the Bible teaches that all of our works are being written down in heaven. Now, we don't like to think about that, but that's true. You say, well, where does the Bible say that? Well, how about Romans 14, 12? So then every one of us shall give account of himself to God. Do you know what every one of us means? It means every one of us. That means every single one of us. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 10. Paul said, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ." Why? Well, that every man may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. So you best be careful when you say, "Well, what I do is not that important." Oh yeah, I think it is, and God thinks it is. And that's why you have a list that we have, like we have here in 2 Samuel 23. If every Christian took the attitude that said, "What I do is not that important," we would not see anything accomplished for the Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, if everybody took that attitude. The fact of the matter is, folks, you do count. And you count so much that every deed that you do is carefully monitored by the Lord of glory. Every deed is recorded, whether it be good or whether it be bad. God is keeping record. Think about that. Think about that. Every thought is recorded. Whoa. That's a little scary, isn't it? Think of this. Every attitude is recorded. "Well, ain't gonna tell me what to do." Oh, yeah? Well, God just wrote that down. Think of it. Every action is recorded. And oh, when the fire is applied to your works and to my works, will we be able to stand with our head held high and have refined jewels to cast at our Savior's feet? That's something to think about, isn't it? All right, now let's get to the mighty men. How'd this happen? Well, God did it. God did it. But don't miss the point, folks. God can do great things, but we've got to be willing to let God do great things through us. Now, that's the bottom line here, and that's why these men's names are listed here. You see, there was a man whose name was Adino, and you know, he just stepped up and said, "Well, you know, Lord, I can stand, and he did, and God did great things through that man. There was another fella whose name was Shammah, and there was another fella whose name was Eliezer, and they just stood, and they just did what was right, and God put his hand on them, and God blessed them in a mighty way. And God will bless you if you'll just make yourself available. Amen. You say, "Well, I'm not much." I don't think these guys were much either. As a matter of fact, if you will read the record, you will find out that most, if not all, of these men that are considered David's mighty men were renegades and outcasts who joined up with David when he was being chased by King Saul through the Judean wilderness. And these guys were renegades. They were troublemakers. They had a little attitude about them. All right? They couldn't quite get along with people. The townsfolks came to them and said, "You know, we would appreciate it if you would leave." And so they left, and they ended up joining up with David. They saw in David a sympathetic heart. They saw in David somebody that was like them, an outcast, somebody who was not wanted. David was out running 10 years of his life, fleeing from the wrath of Saul. And they joined up with David. And so they weren't the best that society had to offer. They weren't nobility. They weren't educated. They weren't men of wealth or position. They were just men that were available. And when they availed themselves to David, God used them in a mighty way. They were available. Folks, that's one of the good things about Christianity. In order to be used, you don't have to be smart, and you don't have to be rich, and you don't have to be educated, and you don't have to be handsome, and you don't have to be gifted, and you don't have to be talented. All you have to be is available, and God can use you. Availability is the best ability. Now, let's look at these men. The first one is Adino. And in verse 8, we read about Adino. Now, what do we know about him? Well, in 1 Chronicles chapter 11, we know that his personal name was Jeshobeam. All right? Jeshobeam. And verse 8 tells us that he was in just one battle. That's all that's told about it. Now, was he in more? I don't know. But the only thing the Bible tells us about is one battle. And in this one battle, the man was able to slay 800 Philistines in one day. Wow. Now, what can we learn from Adino? Well, here's what I think we learned. Let's look at the verse. All right, it says the Tachmonite, verse 8, that sat in the seat, chief among the captains, the same was Adino, the Esnite. He lifted up his spear against 800 whom he slew at one time. Wow. I'd say he had the hand of God upon him, wouldn't you? I would say he had some divine help. So what can we learn here? Well, one against 800. I think I see some fearlessness in this man. He is not fearful. I think what we see in this man is daring courage. Amen. A man of courage. You know, there are a lot of folks who do not serve in the Lord's army as they should simply because of the fear factor. They're afraid to let somebody know whose team they're on. Amen. Afraid to stand up and be counted for the Lord. Afraid to let others know that they are a Christian. Right. Just after I was saved, our pastor encouraged us to witness to others. And I will never forget. He said to me as we were leaving that morning, he said, "You probably have a lot of friends that need the Lord, don't you?" And I said, "Yeah, I do." And he said, you ought to get them, win them to Christ." And boy, that got a hold of my heart, and I could not sleep that night because I was laying there thinking about my friends and all of them just as lost as they could be. And I went to school the next morning, and my friend Tom came up. And he said, "Where were you yesterday?" And I said, "Church." He said, "Again?" I said, "I know." I said, "And guess what?" He said, "What?" I said, "I got saved yesterday." He said, "Saved from what?" I said, "I don't know, but I got saved." And he said, "Well, you got saved from what?" I said, "I guess from hell." Amen. And he said, "Oh." He said, "Well, what are you saying? I'm going to hell?" And I said, "You sure are. Heathen." And he said, "Well, I don't want to go to hell." And I said, "Well, then you need to get saved." He said, "Well, how do I get saved?" And I said, "Same way I did." And he said, "Well, how's that?" And I said, "You come to church." I didn't know. And so the next week, we went to a youth activity, a basketball thing at the YMCA in Charleston, and I called Tom. I said, "Hey, come and spend the night at our house Friday, and you can come to the activity." And so we went. We played basketball. After we finished playing basketball, Gary Lane took the Bible and gave a little devotional, and Tom was sitting there and beside of me, and Gary said, "Now, if you're here today and you're not sure you're saved, let me pray for you. Raise your hand." I elbowed Tom. I said, "Raise your hand, heathen." And so he raised his hand real quick. Said, "Thank you. See that hand." There were a few others. And after the service was over, Gary took Tom to the side, and Gary Lane led Tom to the Lord. Now Tom is serving the Lord down in Fairmont, West Virginia. I'm telling you, folks, we need not be afraid. I didn't care what my friends thought about me. I just wanted, I wanted them to be saved. Some of them laughed, but I witnessed to them as best I could. And some of them got saved. Listen to what the Bible says. 2 Timothy 1:7. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. And folks, Adino overcame the enemy. He overcame the enemy. How could he do this great feat? I tell you how he could do it. He could do it because he availed himself to God, and God did it through him. And that's exactly how God works through for us today. Just avail yourself. Hold your place here and go over to the book of 2 Corinthians for just a minute. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. I want you to look carefully at what Paul says here, beginning in verse 3. 2 Corinthians 10, verse 3. Paul says, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal." They're not fleshly. That's right. Our spiritual weapons are not carnal. You say, "Where's the devil?" I'm going to get a gun and shoot him. Bullets go right through the devil. That's right. Yeah. Say, "Where's the devil?" I'm going to get a baseball bat and knock his head off. No, you're not. A baseball bat doesn't even make him flinch. That's right. The weapons of our warfare, verse 4, are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ, and having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. Do ye look on things after the outward appearance? If any man trust to himself that he is Christ, let him of himself think this again, that as he is Christ, even so are we Christ." Amen. Oh, folks, listen, just avail yourself to God and God will use you. But you got to avail yourself. And Adino did just that. You are Christ and he will use you if you will just avail yourself. Now let's go back to 2 Samuel, and I want you to look at the second great warrior. And he's in verse 9, and his name is Eleazar. It is believed by most of the Bible scholars, most of those that study this stuff, that Eleazar's battle, and the rabbis think this is where everybody else got it, but most believe that Eleazar's battle was right after David killed Goliath, when Israel then pursued the Philistines, and ultimately that great victory was won. That's when most people think that Eleazar's story took place. Now, in Adino, the first one, we saw fearlessness. But I want you to notice in Eleazar, there's another characteristic that we see, and that characteristic is persistency. Persistency. The men of Israel were gone away. Look at your Bible here. All right, look at verse 9. It says, let me read it so you get the whole context. "And after him was Eleazar, the son of Dodo, the Ahohite, one of the three mighty men with David when they defied the Philistines that were there gathered together to battle, and the men of Israel were gone away." The men of Israel were gone away. Now, What the rabbis teach on this, they say that that phrase, the men of Israel were gone away, they say that that Eliezer found himself alone. That they were in the battle. And it just so happened that in the course of the battle, Eliezer found himself alone. He's just standing there with a sword in his hand. He's alone. He's just standing there. Everybody else, all of his buddies, were a god. They were God. And so when he alone remained, he found himself surrounded, but he did not back up. He did not retreat. Instead, he stood in the midst of the ground. He stood on solid terra firma and fought off the attack of the enemy. Verse 10, until his hand, look at it, until his hand clave to the sword, and he killed 600 men all by himself. Isn't that amazing? You say, well, what happened here? Well, get the picture. Here he is. He's got a hold of a sword. And he looks around and everybody's gone. And then all of a sudden, here they come at him. And all day long after this battle, one right after another, sometimes two at a time, sometimes three at a time. And there's Eliezer holding on to that sword. Now, folks, stop and think about it. How many hours would it take you by yourself to kill 600 men coming at you? I'm telling you, he was there for a while. All right? And he stood right there without fear and didn't run and didn't retreat, hanging on to that sword and fighting as the Philistines came at him. And when the day was over and all the Philistines were laying dead around him, he goes back to the camp and goes in the camp. And look at your Bible, verse 10. It says, he arose and smote the Philistines until his hand was weary and his hand, what's the next word? Clave to the sword. Watch it, folks. He's got a hold of that sword. And he has gripped that thing for hours on end throughout the day. He has fought this man and that man. There are Philistines piled up around him. And it's been one right after the other. And he's got the grip. And I'm guaranteeing you, he's gripped that thing. And when he got back in the camp, he said, and I know you're a nervous wreck right now because I got your $500 microphone hanging in the balance. But he goes back to the camp and he says to the men, somebody pull my fingers off of this sword. I have gripped this thing until I can't turn it loose. And they had to pull his fingers off the sword. That is persistence. That is stickability. That is staying with it. Man, I'm telling you, folks, stay with it. Stay with it. The devil is doing everything he can to get you to quit. Don't quit. You get your eyes on this and get your eyes on that and get your eyes on that guy and that person and that woman and that preacher and that. Don't do that. The devil is going to trip you up. Now, let me ask you a question. Is not one of the most beautiful pictures in the world of this Bible, is it not a sword? Is it not a sword? Hey, why don't you try this? Instead of getting mad at everything and everybody for all the stupid stuff they do, you know why they do stupid stuff? They're stupid. We're all stupid. We're sinners. Sinners do dumb things. And, you know, we don't mean to do dumb things. We're just dummies. And we do dumb things. And instead of looking at all the dumb things that people do and getting mad about it and quitting on God, why don't you do this? Get in the sword and stick to the sword until the sword sticks to you. And instead of getting mad, you'll act like Jesus. Oh, there's a thought, isn't it? Well, you don't know what she said to me. Well, who cares? Well, you don't know what he did. Well, get over it. People are dying and going to hell, and you're pouting? Grow up. I'd like to stay right there, but running out of time. Somebody come pry my fingers loose from this sword. Oh, man. I wish we had some people that would do that today. I wish we had some Eliezers today. David said in Psalm 119, verse 11, "Thy word have I hid in my heart." Why? That I might not sin against God. Psalm 1, verse 1 and 2, David said, we're to meditate. The rabbis tell us that word meditate means to murmur, to mumble, to coo. You know what that is? That's just absorbed in the Word of God. That's just absorbed in it. That's just walking around reading the Bible to yourself. He is the tower of my salvation, for he is the king. He showeth his mercy to his anointed. Hey, watch out, you're going to fall down. Oh, yeah, okay, all right. Well, I'm just enjoying the word here. He showeth mercy to his anointed, unto David, and to his seed forevermore. Wow. You see, just murmuring, just mumbling. And that's what the word meditate means. It all comes from the root, from the same root word. To murmur, to mutter, to growl, to coo, to sigh, to speak. Now contrast that with Romans 10:17. Faith comes by
hearing.
And hearing by the
word of God.
Exactly. You see, Eliezer was a man of faith. Oh, it's vitally important for your spiritual growth that you meditate on the scriptures. And then lastly, look at Shammah in verse 11 and 12. Shammah, we're told in verse 11, stood in the midst of the ground. He stood. The key word here is defended. He defended it. Do you see that? You know, we sit down and read this and boom, man, we just blow right over it, don't we? But stop and think about it. He defended the land. He defended it. Wow. I mean, Shammah, he, to me, is the warrior of steadfastness. I mean, like Eliezer, he endured to the end. And the Lord gave him a great victory. In Ephesians 6, Paul said to us as believers, stand therefore, stand. Stand, and having done all, stand. In 1 Corinthians 15:58, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast. Don't quit. You get a little trip in the road, a little stumble in the road. Get up, dust yourself off. I remember when he was learning how to ride a bike. And I was a nervous wreck, him riding a bike. Into the garage door and into the car. And Josh, don't hit that. Oh, too late. And he'd get off and his pants was ripped. Get right back on it again. But you know what? He learned how to ride a bike. And that same thing your kids did. You know, Paul said we're to walk circumspectly, looking in all directions. But we're to walk. Don't stop. Shammah stood in the midst, and the enemy came from every direction, but he was ready. He was walking. He was looking. And he stood in the midst of the ground. Folks, here is the chief source of success. Human effort is needed. But in and of itself, human effort is not enough. It avails only as it is yielded to God. And the Bible here says that it was the Lord that brought the victory. Amen. And folks, the Lord is going to give the victory for you and for me. God will fight for them that fight for Him. Amen. Trouble is, there's just an awful lot of God's people who leave it up to somebody else to do the work. Why don't we all jump in there? There's something for everybody to do. You say, well, Pastor, I don't know what I could do. Why don't you ask God what you can do? You see, if you just make yourself available, God will use you. Well, Pastor, I'm new around here. At one point, everybody was new around here. That's amazing how that works, isn't it? But we got to just be there. And if you will avail yourself, God will use you. Isn't that something? Long before they ever got into the land, long before, God told Moses way over here that when you get over into the land 40-some years later, when you get over into the land, I'm going to help you. I will be there. And I'll help you defeat your enemies. And I'll give you the victory. And folks, those principles just apply to us today. God will do the same thing for you and for me. Amen. May God help us to make ourselves available.